And you may be seated. Well, today we have a special day. As you know, I've been taking a little lighter over the past, a few weeks as we've been in Babyland. I hope you can all meet her. She's right out there in Chaim's arms right now, baby Chavalea. Get to say hello. And I was looking and saying, who can we invite to come and share and speak and bring a word to you guys? And I thought of Josh, who is a first-year grad student at MIT after graduating MIT undergraduate school. And Josh grew up in Shuva Yisrael in New York and with Rabbi David Rosenberg, right? And what are you asking? This going down. Okay. Chaim's making all these signals to me, and I didn't know what it was. Josh first started coming some years ago during his MIT years, and just has kind of gradually grown to become a part of the family, a part of our Real Kidjo family, even a part of our extended family here. And it's just been a real important part of our Real Kidjo community. He, along with Abby, have been running the youth for, I don't know, at least over a year, probably, running the young adult community that we have. And also, Josh was a camp counselor at Orlador this past summer. So you heard from him a few weeks ago about his camp experience. But without any further ado, let me just invite you to come up and share Josh with us this morning. Yeah, let's welcome Josh. Sure.
Wow. Thank you, Robert Nathan, for that warm welcome to the podium. All right, well, Shabbat Shalom. I'm very excited. So one of my favorite, I was thinking about what I was going to say today, and one of my favorite scenes in all of Scripture is Yeshua coming to synagogue. And this is in Luke 4. So before we read it, just imagine with me, right? So we're all at synagogue today. Some of us are here in person or virtually, and you're coming in, and it's the morning, you're Shabbat Shalom, and you're shaking everyone's hand, and all of a sudden you look, and you're in Nazareth in the first century, and you see your old friend, Yeshua. And you haven't seen him in a while. It's been like 40 days or so, a little more, and you go, wow, Yeshua, you look so thin, you look like you haven't eaten in 40 days. Here, why don't you come talk to our Gabbai, Connie? We'll get you set up. Well, how would you like to read today, actually? It'll be a special guest up to the Bima. And so he accepts. He said the lectionary leads Yeshua right to the front row. And imagine he's sitting right here throughout the entire service. You can sit right in the front. You can be our Yeshua for today. And they're singing and they're doing all these songs. And they get to the Torah service. And Yeshua is just sitting there about to rock his city and blow them away, revealing to them and to us something very, very profound. And so they open the scrolls, they get to that point in the service, and that's where we pick up in Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 17. So the Gabbai gives Yeshua the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he takes it and he reads similarly to how Dave just read. And he says this: "The Spirit of Adonai is upon me because he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the imprisoned and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who have been crushed, to proclaim a year of the favor of Adonai." And then he closes the scroll and just hands it back to the shamash, and he sits down. And everyone's shocked. And he says, "This today, as you've heard it read, this passage of the Tanakh was fulfilled." So what I want to do is investigate why his message was so profound, to really ask what he was truly saying that day. What was the heart of Yeshua's message to Nazareth? We're going to find out that he's actually revealing who he is, his very identity and his purpose on earth, and his mission to save the world. So the passage he quoted from is Isaiah 61, right after our Haftorah portion. So to answer that question, we're going to have to go back to what we just read and really unpack the scriptures together. So are we ready? Okay, let's do it. Let's go in. Isaiah chapter 60. So the goal in this study is to figure out who Yeshua is, his purpose and mission, and why that's connected to what he said at Nazareth. So we start in Isaiah 60, verse 1. So we have arise, shine, and CJB has comments, Jerusalem, for your light has come. The glory of Adonai has risen over you. What is that light? What is this light that they talk about? What are its properties? What does it do? Why is it there? So you keep reading, although darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the peoples, on you Adonai will rise, over you will be seen his glory. Nations will go toward your light and kings toward your shining splendor. Okay, so we learned some important properties of this light. So nations see it. It shines in darkness and nations see it and they're drawn to the light. And kings too. And we keep going. We're going to go down to verse. Raise your eyes and look around. They're all assembling and coming to you. Your sons are coming from far off. Your daughters are being carried on their nurses' hips. So it's not just nations. It's like everyone. Sons and daughters of all of Israel and all of nations. They're seeing this light and they're going to it. And then he's speaking, right, presumably to the city of Jerusalem. He said, then you will see and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with delight. So that's interesting. So this light isn't just seen by men. It fills Jerusalem with joy. So what is this light that's so powerful? So when doing research for this, I was looking into some commentaries. I stumbled upon Genesis Rabbah. And there were this discussion of rabbis, and they're asking the same question. What is this light? What is this great light? And one says this, and another says that, and then Rabbi Abba Sarangaya steps forward, he says, ah, this light is the glory of Adonai rising on it, from verse 2. So clearly it must be the Messianic King. Interesting. Okay, so we go back, and let's reread what we just did, and view this light under that lens. Okay, so if this light is the Messianic King. Okay, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of Adonai has risen over you. For although darkness covers the earth and thick darkness peoples, on you Adonai arise. Okay, that's what he uses for evidence. Nations will go toward your light and kings toward your shining splendor. And then you will see and be radiant and your heart will throb and swell with delight. So if this light is indeed the Messianic King, then maybe we've been asking the wrong question. The light is not a what. Maybe we should be asking, the light is a who. Who is this light instead of a what? Who is this light that is the Messianic King that when he arrives to Jerusalem, the nations see it, kings are drawn to it, and it fills the city with joy? And what does this have to do with the identity of Yeshua? What does this have to do with at Nazareth, that almost cost him his life? So at this point in our research, we need a source that tells us more about this light as a Messianic King. So where else can we go? John 1 strikes me as a good place to look. So let's go there. Remember the question at hand. We're trying to explore through the scriptures the identity of Yeshua and what that has to do with his message at Nazareth. Okay, all right, so let's go to John 1 because he has a lot to say about the light of the world.
A lot to say.
Okay, so John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing made had being.
That's a very interesting verse. Let's explore that a bit. Remember the question. Okay, so all things came, because now he's talking about this person, and he's describing some qualities. This is the first quality that we see. Whoever this is, this word of God, that's now a person, all things came to be through him. And he's talking about the beginning. Are you tracking with me so far? Okay, so I'm very interested in the beginning now. That's what John is telling me. Look back to the beginning. So let's do that. We're going to be doing a lot of flipping through our Bible today. All right, let's go to the very beginning, because John is, he's getting at something here. He's very interested in something. All right, let's go back to the beginning. But I'm still holding John 1. I'm not done. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was unformed and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the water. Yeah, that's really interesting that there was darkness on the face of the deep. Because to me, that sounds a lot like what we just read in Isaiah 60. Right? Isaiah is setting up the chapter, Isaiah 60. He said, the light has come, although darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the waters. The deep darkness the peoples. So interesting. We see a similar theme. Okay, what does God say? Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that's the beginning. That's the first thing God says. And according to John, all things came to be through him. So the first thing that came to be through this person John is describing is light itself. And it's a light that pierces the darkness hovering on the surface of the waters. And John, we're kind of putting this together, but John already says that for us in verse 4. He leads into it. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. So, let's put this together. So the very first thing there was light. Light came through him. It was within him. And it shone in the darkness. He's getting at something here. He's this painting. Rabbi David Rosenberg would always say, God's painting this prophetic picture of who Yeshua is. Yeah, let's just keep going. I mean, we're only at verse 5 in John. Let's keep going. So, I'm sorry, that was verse 4. Verse 5 is, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not suppressed it. All right, so let's look at the parallels. So the light shines in the darkness. That was Genesis 1:2. Isaiah 62, darkness was covering the earth. Okay, so verse 6, sorry, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is a different John. This is the one who immersed Yeshua. And then John is the emissary, the one who Yeshua loved. Two Johns in here. Okay, technical note. He came to be a testimony to bear witness concerning the light, so that through him everyone might put his trust in God and be faithful to him. He himself was not that light. No, he came to bear witness concerning the light. So this John, a Mercer, is preaching about the light as if it's a person. So John's reinforcing this with the other John's testimony. Okay, so by verse 8, we have these ideas from Isaiah, from Genesis, that Rabbi Abba connected on from this Midrash. And by this point, John's clear. This figure is the light. He's not just the one who created light. He doesn't just have light in him. He himself is the light. Just as Rabbi Sarangai had nailed on the head, that this light must be the Messianic King. And we end our exploration with John 1 with verse 9. This was the true light, which gives light to everyone entering the world. That's fascinating. Because now John, for a second time, has quoted Isaiah 60. He set up the beginning with saying there was darkness on the earth, and Isaiah is going back to Genesis. So John's quoting Isaiah, quoting Genesis. You see that? And then he says, and there was darkness on the earth, on the waters, and on all the nations of the earth. And then God spoke, and he said, let there be light. And he said, arise and shine. And he said, I'm here. You see the theme? So what does verse 9 have to do with it? This gives light to everyone entering the world. Let's look at Isaiah 60. Right after verse 2 comes verse 3. Nations will go toward that light, and kings toward your shining splendor. Okay. So, we've rediscovered, the identity of Yeshua. We've rederived, so to speak, that Yeshua is the light of the world. He's the one that came in and pierces the darkness. He's the one who says, let there be light, and he's actually the one who comes. He is the light. And this light gives light to the whole earth. In Genesis, it gives light to all the nations of the earth. That's very interesting, and John gets at that. And that's what we glean from going back to this Haftorah portion. So that's it. That's the identity of Yeshua, the light of the world. He himself says this in John, later in John 10. So we kind of just like, you know, reinvented the wheel. Like we discovered the wheel. We were like, oh man, this is great. Yeshua's like, yeah, that's exactly who I am. But what does that have to do with his message at Nazareth? Because that's the question we're really trying to answer. To answer that second part, I think we have to go back to what he actually preached. So we just picked up from Isaiah 60. He preaches from the following chapter, Isaiah 61. Is this making sense so far about where we're about to go? Okay, so let's go back to Isaiah 61, to what he actually quoted from with this new information about who Yeshua is. We'll see if anything jumps out at us. All right, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of Adonai Elohim is upon me, because Adonai has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to let out into light those bound in the dark. I don't know about you, but when the first time I read this, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, he's saying it. He's doing it. This is what he's saying. He's saying this very message. He's saying this in Nazareth, and he's saying, I am the light of the world. I am the one through whom light came into the world when my father said, let there be light. I am the one who pierces the darkness. I am the one that nations want to see. Nations will come to this city to see me. They will hear about me. Kings will want to discuss with me. And now I'm here. And I will fill this city with joy because of who I am. Because now is the time to proclaim the year of Adonai's favor. And he's done. And he sits down. And he says, today it's been fulfilled. Isn't that wild? What does that do inside of you? To know that that was Yeshua's message to Nazareth. The minute he comes out of the wilderness, that's what he says. After facing the enemy, he says, I'm the light. I'm here now. Follow me. What does that do inside of you? It should bring you life. It should give you that great joy that he speaks about. I was I think it was Tuesday. I was in a Torah discussion with this rabbi on campus, and to my knowledge, he has not yet embraced Yeshua. But in the middle of this discussion, he said something that to me, as a Messianic Jew, is very provocative. He's talking about immigration and Jewish law, and he's talking about living in the diaspora, and he says, look, we Jews, you know, we're living in the diaspora. It's a very bleak situation. We are in exile, but it's temporary. Because one day the Messiah is going to come to Jerusalem, and we're all going to be with him in the land of Israel, and we're going to be together forever. I was like, what? Could you imagine if he would have read this? If he would have read what Yeshua did? He already came to Jerusalem. Imagine the joy that would be on this rabbi's face. But we've read this. How much more should we be filled with joy
If he's talking about the Messiah and he's waiting for this figure, this light, to come to Jerusalem so that we can be with him, and he wants to be drawn to this light that pierces the darkness around him in exile. So it should give us joy, the joy he would feel knowing that the Messiah has already been here. But why is that profound for us?
Okay, I skipped over something. I glossed over something when we looked at Isaiah 61. Look at where Yeshua stops speaking. Okay, so we said, now this is, we're back at Isaiah 61. Verse 2 is when he stops. He said, to proclaim the year of the favor of Adonai. But that's not the end of the phrase. The end of the phrase is, and the day of vengeance of our God. Period. Maybe that's why they were so shocked. It's like he was speaking, and all of a sudden, he goes, sits down. You didn't finish the reading, Yeshua. He's like, exactly. Look back right before Isaiah 61. In the end of Isaiah 60, starting at verse 19. Is this tracking so far? Okay. No more will the sun be your light by day, nor will moonlight shine on you. Instead, Adonai will be your light forever, and your God your glory. No longer will your sun go down, your moon will no longer wane, for Adonai will be your light forever. Your days of mourning will end. That's very interesting. What does that sound like to you? That sounds to me like the very end, actually, not the beginning. Let's go there. Let's go to the very end, to Revelation. Let's do Revelation 21. Let's just see, because it's saying no more, there's going to be no sun, moon, and stars. I'm thinking sun, moon, and stars, they're falling in Revelation. Something is happening. All right, so what's happening in Revelation 21? Okay, so still John speaking, which is crazy. John is really, really fascinated with this light. Okay, so then I saw, this is John, he's seeing all these visions in the end of days. He saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is verse 1, chapter 21. For the old heaven and the old earth had passed away, and the sea was no longer there. Also, I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, see, God's Shekinah, presence, is with mankind, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and he himself will be their God. That's Yeshua's message. He says, I'm the light of the world, and I'm coming to Jerusalem. But we're not just waiting for we're not just waiting for him to come to Jerusalem physically. We're waiting for him to come again to the new Jerusalem. This is why his message is so profound. He's not just saying what he's doing now. He's saying what he did in the beginning of time, sending light into the world. He's saying what he did on his earthly ministry at his first coming. And at the same time, he's saying what he's going to do at the very end. I'm going to be coming to the new Jerusalem. And all the nations will see my light. All of the kings will be drawn to me. They will want to see me and discuss with me. Because I will be coming to proclaim a day of vengeance the next time you see my face. And that gives you strength. Look at the end of verse 21. I saw no temple in the city, for Adonai, God of heaven's armies, is its temple, as is the Lamb. The city has no need for the sun or moon to shine on it, because God's Shekinah gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And then John he just hammers it home. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Tell me that isn't a direct quotation of what we just read. Yeshua is brilliant. That gives us strength to sustain us. It gives us hope on the inside that boils over. It's not a hope that remains. I'm laughing because I'm like, when I was telling Abby about this sermon, I was like, it's a light that just, it boils inside and it just comes out. And she was like, stop, you're doing Rabbi Nathan. Like, he does this. He does this exactly. And I was like, you're right, I have to stop. Gotta go back. I'll go back. Wow. Genesis, Isaiah, John, Revelation, the same message. And Yeshua knows this, and he's quiet the whole time in Nazareth. He's just sitting there, having dealt with the enemy face to face, the same one that was in the garden right after he created the light and tried to muck things up. But he was not fazed. He knew exactly what he was going to do, because he is the light of the world. He's the physical light, just like we said. Yotzer or uvor choshek, oseh shalom uvor et hakol. That's from Isaiah 45. I make light and I create darkness. I make peace. I even make evil. They're all mine. I'm over everything. This enemy in the garden is nothing. He has nothing on me. The enemy in your soul has nothing on me. I am the light of the world. I pierce the darkness. I've pierced it before, and I'm going to do it again. I've come to Jerusalem. I made Jerusalem. And I'm making a new one, and it's going to descend out of this light of mine. And you're going to see it. Nations, I came here before, and I'm going to do it again. Does not not fill you with great joy? That is Yeshua's message. Have joy. What kind of joy? The hopping, skipping, and jumping joy. The kids, they have it right, I'm telling you. What do they do every day? They hop, skip, and jump into Shabbat. Because Shabbat is one of the signs that God has given us of this day. Because it's the first sign he gave to Israel, and it will also be the last one. Because in Hebrews it says, let us all enter into this eternal rest. This hope was never meant to remain on the inside. Light is not meant to be kept. This is what Yeshua says. He says, when you have light, you don't just put it under a bowl and hide it. You put it on a lampstand for all to see. He said that directly after he was in Nazareth. After Nazareth, his next stop, Capernaum. What does he say in Capernaum? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do not hide your light. I am the light, I'm giving you light, and I need you to shine it. That is how the nations are going to see it. Right, when you're doing engineering research, one thing you're very interested in is the mechanics of how something is going to happen. Because you can speak very theoretically, but eventually you need a product, right? So how exactly are the nations going to see his light and the kings his shining splendor? Yeshua fills it in for us on his next stop in his journey. In Nazareth, he says, this is what's going to happen. I'm the light of the world, and the nations are going to see me. And in Capernaum, he says how that's going to happen. He says, I'm going to give it to you. You are the light of the world. I am the lamp that radiates God's Shekhinah, and I'm going to make you lamps of mine. And you will go out into the nations. That's actually what that rabbi said on Tuesday. He said, the reason we're in the diaspora is not just because we're in exile, but we're because we're supposed to be here sharing about the Lord with the nations. That just blew me away. I was like, there's no way he just said that. Has he read the book of Acts? There's no way. So do you remember, I came up a couple weeks ago talking about camp and about this new sign of this light that I was taking upon myself, that I started to wear my kippah everywhere I went. Remember I said it was terrifying. Yeah, no, not anymore. Yeah, I'm used to it now, but I wear it with great joy. I actually walk around, I'm like, yes, I have my kippah on. Because it's a sign to everyone that in Yeshua, my Jewish life is restored. The story of my family is that we were Jews for generations. We weren't just Jews, we were Levites. We weren't just Jews, we were Levites. We were actually making a ruckus where we were. When my family arrived to Latin America, the first thing they did was start an uprising against Spain. Matthias Brugman, you can look it up. He was a Jew whose family was from Curaçao, who was very disappointed that Spain was colonizing Puerto Rico. And he had nothing to do with it. He wasn't even Puerto Rican. He was just a French-Dutch Jew living there. But he saw injustice. He saw darkness. And he said, enough. And he started an uprising. That's who my family is. But they hid their light for so many generations, to the point where by the time my grandfather came around, he didn't know he was even Jewish. Why in the world would my family hide that? Well, when you hear about overseas about 6 million Jews dying, you don't want to tell your son who you are. That's the decision my great-grandmother made. So my grandfather, he went around and he found Yeshua. They weren't living with Yeshua, my parents, my great-grandparents going back. My great-grandmother, the very last thing she did when she died was accept Yeshua. Isn't that awesome? She knew who she was. She was a Jew. And the last thing my grandfather went up to her, not even knowing they were both Jewish. He found out after she died. Someone else came up to him and said, "Did you know your mother was Jewish?" He was like, "No. That means I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish, and I believe in Yeshua, and that's how we're here." She eventually found the light in the mountains in Puerto Rico, being a secret converso for years. This is why I am so excited to live my life outwardly. What is it that Ruach Israel tries to do with Jewish life? It's a sign of the joy of Yeshua. That's what it's been for me. To have my kippah on my head and say to my Jewish friends, my Jewish identity is rooted in Yeshua. And to go to my non-Jewish Christian friends, my faith in Yeshua is the root of my Jewish identity. Because for him, it's one and the same. And that's what it means for us. What should you do as a result of Yeshua's message in Nazareth? The light of the world that has come to pierce the darkness that wants to shut your faith and keep it in secret, the faith that wants to like hide your Star of David necklace. What should you do? Live it out. Be the light of the world. If you aren't who God wants you to be, how will the nations see his light? What amazes me about Yeshua is that he could have done this all by himself. He did not need us to shine his light. He's just as bright, with or without us. But he chose to use imperfect vessels to help him accomplish his mission. And that's the invitation he brings to us. This message of going out into the world, remember the Great Commission, what's known at the end of Matthew, go out into the world, into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, into all the ends of the earth. First of all, do you see that pattern? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. He's saying, go like this, Israel. I want you to go out into the nations. I want you to be public about your faith. I want you to be public that you're Jewish. And I want you to go out into the nations so that the nations can join you. It's not just a Jewish story. This is really about Yeshua in the end. He's using all of us from all nations. Because once someone in the nations starts seeing the light, then the other ones around the nations are like, what is this? What is this that's different about you? Oh, me, I follow the God of Israel. What do you do? Well, I follow this God of wood and stone. But it's pretty dark. You have the light. Maybe I should go with you. And she was like, boom, exactly. That's how the plan goes into action. That is the mechanic of how this happens. And that is his message at Nazareth. He's revealing his plan, his destiny for all of mankind. It's his inauguration address for the 3 years that will follow in his ministry, that will culminate in his death. At least stage one of his plan. We're still living in that in-between. And what that rabbi said is right. This is a temporary stage. Because one day he will come back to the New Jerusalem and we will be with him. From every nation who puts his trust in this messianic king, we will be with him together forever. Let that sustain you when you leave this place. And perhaps you can hop, skip, and jump into your workplace, into your homes. Hop, skip, and jump for the joy of the Lord. And that's it. That's all I have to say. Be blessed. Shabbat shalom. Thank you.
Good. Wonderful. A good word, a profound word, an ennobling charge. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us today. Good stuff. Yes? Yeah. Okay. Oh, wonderful. Aviva, why don't you come forward, and we're going to close our service with the Alleluia, where we proclaim these great truths to be coming and to be a reality even now. So let us pray on page 93? 94.
Yeah. 94.
One day I'll get that right. 94.